This is Kate Moorhead Carroll in the podcast, Find It. Today begins a series on living liturgy, how to worship in a way that is both ancient but yet also speaks to our modern minds and hearts. Language changes. It grows. It shifts. It is alive. It does not remain the same. It is vital to understand that at a most basic level, the failure to reinterpret language is to allow that language to become obsolete. In other words, if we don't adapt, we lose not only relevance, but the true meaning of the words and actions themselves. Meaning slips out from under us. So if we are to remain faithful to our ancient tradition, we cannot remain the same while language changes out from under us. We must adapt. Ironically, in order to remain faithful to ancient practices, we must reinterpret language and custom to keep up with the shifting meaning that happens over the course of time. Here is why I think we must translate and retranslate both scripture and worship if we are to remain faithful to the gospel. The study of linguistics is fascinating to me. Language is alive. Each new generation creates new words and finds old words obsolete. Listen, for example, to the preface from the 1789 Book of Common Prayer and see if it moves you today or even makes sense to you. And notice that the entire first paragraph is actually one very long sentence, which would obviously never cut it in today's TikTok and Twitter world. I quote, "It is a most invaluable part of that blessed liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, that in his worship different forms and usages may without offense be allowed, provided the substance of the faith be kept entire, and that in every church what cannot be clearly determined to belong to doctrine must be referred to discipline, and therefore by common consent and authority may be altered, abridged, enlarged, amended, or otherwise disposed of, as may seem most convenient for the edification of the people, quote, according to the various exigency of times and occasions," unquote. That's from the 1789 Book of Common Prayer, page 9. Did you hear how hard this language is for us to absorb? We can get some of the meaning, but not all of it. How wordy it sounds, how boring. It still has some life in it, but it's dying, it's old. The Holy Spirit is moving out of it and into another form of language. But its message is the same as what I'm trying to tell you now, that worship occurs in differing forms and may be altered as the people see fit. In other words, they just said in Old English what I'm trying to explain to you right now. But the older the language is, the harder it is to understand. Don't get me wrong. When I go to the nursing home, I read the King James Version of the Bible. I do that because that is the language of my congregation there. It is a beautiful language that people who are older are very accustomed to. But the younger generations don't fully understand it today. One of the things that happens over time is that we add to our vocabulary. There are 17 times more English words today than there were in the Koine Greek of the New Testament. This means that when we translate the Bible, we are taking a very broad word full of meaning and having to choose between an average of 17 English words. This is true of the ancient Hebrew as well. Take the word ruach. It means spirit, soul, wind, breath, storm. Well, how do you choose between those words? It is as if we are taking the water from a bathtub and trying to get it into a single teacup. Every time we translate, we cut huge swaths of meaning. We reduce the scripture to a fraction of its original message. No wonder that many Muslims simply refuse to translate the Quran, and many Jews won't translate the Torah. Why limit its meaning in this way? Translation is also like jumping from one moving train to another. Words that mean something one day can mean something entirely different in 100 years. 100 years ago, when I said that I was gay, it meant that I was happy. So if we are to remain faithful to Scripture, and if we believe, as our forefathers and mothers did, that the prayer book and the Bible both must be translated into a language that people can understand, then we have our work cut out for us, because we must never stop translating. If language is alive and moving, then the faithful must constantly move with it to retain fidelity to its original meaning. The Bible was translated into Latin early on in the life of Christianity, but then it wasn't translated into the spoken languages of the people until the time of the Reformation. As a result, priests were trained to read Mass and often didn't understand much of what they were saying. For laity, it was worse. This is where the word abracadabra came from. Laity would hear the priests reciting Mass in words that sounded like mumbo-jumbo to them, so that they made it up, believing that the priests were saying abracadabra. When we don't understand language, it becomes mysterious to us like magic. We lose the miracle of the Incarnation, who came to be among us and speak to us in our language. Our worship is in danger of becoming a magic show and becoming irrelevant. We are currently living in one of the greatest periods of historic change known to humankind. The invention of the printing presses resulted in a seismic shift in religion back in the 1500s. For when the Bible was translated into the native language of people and they could read it, they saw the disparity between the life of Jesus, who lived so simply, and the wealth and politics of the church. Today, with the arrival of the internet and eventually AI, we are seeing an even greater shift of human consciousness and evolution. This will not only affect our language, but our ways of interacting with one another and ultimately the way we perceive of God. Cell phones are changing our neurological framework. If we are to bring the gospel to the people, we must learn to speak in new languages and in new ways. It has been 50 years since the Book of Common Prayer came into our pews. It was 50 years between the 1928 prayer book and the 1979 prayer book. Has a new prayer book been created in this time? Believe it or not, the answer is yes. But like the new age in which we dwell, this prayer book exists mostly online. We must understand that when Jesus instructed us to make disciples of all nations to preach that the kingdom of God is near, Jesus knew that we were going to take the gospel not only to foreign lands, but into foreign times as well. The generations that were born into technology think and process differently, and we must learn to speak their language so that the love of God can be given to them, just as it was given to us. So the first thing that you as a leader of worship must ask yourself is, what is the language of my people? Where are your people? Are they primarily of older generations? Do they still like the King James Version? Are they used to the rite two of the Book of Common Prayer? Or is that language beginning to get a little stale? Do they come to you tired and weary and over-informed? Do they need more silence, more rest, more beautiful words but simple words? Changes in liturgy must be made very gradually so that we don't disrupt the opening of the heart to God. We don't want to go out and all of a sudden start calling God she if we've never done that before, because guess what? The person in the pew will be thinking about gender and not about God. But if it is time to gently refrain from using a he pronoun, then that is a sensitive and good thing to do as a worship leader. Remember that above all else, worship is about opening the heart and mind to the presence of the divine. It is not a chance to make political statements. However, at the same time, if your language is not relevant and sensitive to the needs of your people, they will become distracted and even resentful. Thank you for joining me in the podcast, Find It. Remember that if you keep searching for the divine presence, you will find it. I want to invite you, if you're interested in hearing more of these podcasts, to subscribe
Just hit the subscribe button and you will be informed of new episodes. And before we part ways, I pray that God will bless you and hold you, give you peace. Until we meet again.